inside in this week's parasha we learn about, in this week's parasha we learn about the Meraglim. The Meraglim, unfortunately, were corrupt from the very beginning. They already made a decision before they started Rashi. Rashi tells us in the parasha that they already made a decision before they even set out what they're going to do, and it was not good. There were two exceptions, Yoshua ben Nun and Kalev ben Yefune. These two were steadfast in their emunah in Hashem, and they came back with a good report. We also know about these two individuals that they had a little help. They had a little help in maintaining their righteousness. Last week's parasha, in Parshas Behaloscha, we learned that Moshe Rabbeinu changed the name of Yoshua from Hoshea ben Nun. Vayikra Moshe as Hoshea ben Nun, Yehoshua. And Rashi explains. No, I think last week's parasha.
No, this week's parasha. The first plane is this week's parasha.
Not in Israel. Wait a minute.
Wait.
That's what I thought.
It is.
Okay, I believe you. I believe you. Okay, wait. Let's clarify everything over here. Okay. Chotosi. Okay. No, you're right. For some reason, I made a mistake. I make a lot of mistakes. Okay, let's see. Vayik Eile Shmois Hashem. This is Parash Ashalach Moshe Losures Haaretz. Vayikra Moshe LeHoshea Bin Nun Yehoshua. Shalach. The end of Levi. End of the second Ali. No, not Kohen. Levi. End of Levi. In the first Aliyah, Rashi LeHoshea Vayikra Moshe LeHoshea Nispalel the Nun Nispalel Olav. Why is there a Nun? Nispalel. Nispalel olaf ko yeshiacha me'atzas meraglim. May Hashem, Moshe prayed for him. May Hashem save you from the counsel of the meraglim. In other words, Yoshua was vulnerable. He was going with these evil people, and it was very possible that he would have been persuaded to follow in their ways and to come back and issue a slanderous report.
So why did they pick people who were evil?
Okay, that's another topic. It's a big topic. How did this come out? They were tzaddikim. Rashi says, and the Rashi is really contradiction. Rashi says they were tzaddikim when Moshe sent them. They were tzaddikim, and later Rashi says that they already had kavana to issue a slanderous report from the very, very beginning. There's a Stephen Rashi. You're asking a question, but it's hard. It's not for us to judge these people. Okay, whatever it is, it's a good question. It's a different topic. But these were the leaders. These were the princes of the Nisian. They were sent on this mission to scout out the land, to report back about the nature of the land, v'chulu, and the people that went out had issues. And there were 12, each Shevet had a representative, there were 12 leaders, and amongst them was Yoshua and Kalev, and they were righteous. And they came back and they issued a good report and tried to persuade Klal Yisrael not to rebel and not to listen to the other 10. Now Kalev also had an advantage, because when they went to Eretz Yisrael, what did the Kalev do? Vayavo ad Chevron, vayalu vanegev, vayavo ad Chevron. Rashi pasuk chabez, Kalev levado. Why does it say vayavo? Why doesn't it say vayavo u? Why that vayavo beloshen rabim? What's vayavo ad Chevron? Rashi Kalev levado holach sham. Only Kalev, not Yoshua, no one else. He went to Chevron, v'nishtateach al kivrei avos. He was mispalel by the Ma'aretz Machpelah, shelo yehe nisis lechavero. He should not be seduced. Yes. What's the enticed? Yes. You need a good word for this. Lechaverov, influenced by his friends, liyos ba'atza, some to be in their council, v'cheinu oimer, V'loy etein es aretz, I will give the land to Kalev, asher darach ba, v'chsiv ayidu l'kalev es chevroin. How do we know that, what did Kalev ben Yefune receive as his portion? Chevroin. Why? Because he went to Chevroin to be mispalel by the Avos when he went to Eretz Yisrael alone, and that's why he received Chevroin. Okay, so Kolev was mispalo, kivri avos, that he should not be influenced by the wicked people, and Yoshua got a bracha from Moshe Rabbeinu not to be influenced by the evil people. Now, by the way, this just goes to prove the idea of the Chazon Ish. What do you go to? There are a lot of different things, and I don't want to get sidetracked, but this parsha is one of the main mekoros that a person should be mispalel by kivri avos. We spoke about this many times. What is the advantage? What is the mile of going to a kever? Once a person dies, we have a tradition that his neshama goes to Shemayim. So what's the purpose of a grave? Kavod HaNes. Okay, so you bury the body in a respectable place, and you have to mark the grave with a matzeva that Kohanim should not come in this location. But what advantage is there to go to the kever and be mispala? The neshama is not here. The neshama is in Shemayim. We learn from this parsha, obviously, that the fact that Kolev went to be mispala, that there is a mila of going to the kever of a person being mispala. That this is the makar. This is the main makar. Where else do we have a makar? Where else do we have a makar? We have the makar by Rochel. There are two makaris for this in the Torah. Only two makaris that there's an inyan to be mispalel by a kever. When Rochel died, Yaakov Avinu buried her on the road, and he told Yosef later on, "Don't have any complaints against me. Why I did not bury your mother in a more dignified location? The reason why I did was because the Ruach HaKodesh, the Nevuah, through Hashem's command, the day will come when there will be a Churban Bayis, and Klal Yisrael will be passing on this road, and your mother has to be there for them. And at that moment, they will be mispalel to Hashem in the tzchus of your mother at your mother's kever, and only in that tzchus, v'shuvu vanim ligvulam, will there be a geula." So your mother had to be buried where she is so that it will be, she will be available for her children to be mispalel at her kever. From these two Mamori Chazal, we learn that there is a very great value in being mispalel at kivrei avos. So what are you mispalel for? So now that we know you... What? No, by extension it does. Once already there's an end of going to the kever of kever of Avraham Yisrael Yaakov, and kever of Rachel. So obviously we see the avos. Okay, these are all the avos. He's saying seriously that the shoe is one that was left out. I never realized that. And the Maris Machpelah, the only one that's missing, the Maris Machpelah is Rachel. And who made up for that? Yaakov and Yosef. It's interesting. Yaakov and Yosef made up for the one of the avos that's missing. Okay, so you're saying it's only the avos? Can't say that. The Messiah is that this is an opening that it's not just the avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov and their wives, it's the Emois, it is everyone comes on to the avos and by extension Kivrei Tzadikim. Okay, let's leave it with that. What are you mispalel for? So look, now Rachel we have to analyze, but the Kolev was mispalel. He wasn't mispalel by the Maris Machpelah for Siyata Deshmaya in Ruach HaKodesh. He wasn't mispalel for a Shidduch. He wasn't mispalel for Parnasa. What was he mispalel for? Kolev mispalel for? Not to be influenced by people that are not good. He was not mispalel for Siyata Deshmaya, for Torah, for Ruach HaKodesh, for money, for Shidduchim, for Refuah. None of the above. He was mispalel that I should not be influenced by bad friends. Today, when people go to Kivrei Avos, how many people are mispalel not to be influenced by bad people? Probably
zero.
Zero.
Everyone. That's what he needed at that time.
Okay, you can. Yet the fact it's not a coincidence that this is what is highlighted in the Torah. When Yehu gave her, how many times we find in the Torah giving brachos? We find brachos, you have brachos kohanim, and you have Yaakov Avinu gave the brachos to Yosef's children. You do find brachos, but here the bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu gave Yehoshua, Vayikra Moshe, a name change. He did not give him a name change so that he should live, have a refuah shlema. He didn't give a name change so you can find the shidduch. Today, all over the world today, people are changing their names because bad mazel, I'm not making enough money, I can't find the shidduch, or refuah, I want to live longer. So you change today. How many people today are undergoing a name change so I should not be influenced by bad friends? Zero. And yet you learn here from this parasha that the maila of going to by davening by kivrei tzadikim, kivrei avos, and the maila of getting a bracha is not for anything plus. No bonuses, no icing on the cake. It's only that you should not fall. You should not stumble and be influenced by bad people. I always say the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish would say, and even is that it's a parent does not really have to daven that their children should be successful, should be Yirei Shemayim. That's automatic. Hashem creates a person automatically. It's natural for a child to develop and become a Yirei Shemayim, a Talmud Chacham, to love Hashem. That is natural. The problem is children are very vulnerable and they're influenced by people that they should not be influenced by. And the ikur tefillah that a parent should pray for their children is that they should not be distracted. They should not be distracted by people that are not good, be influenced by people and events and things in society that take them away from what they would naturally develop into had they not been distracted by bad influences. And even compose the tefillah that mothers should say when they light candles Friday night, and the entire tefillah is that Hashem should protect my child, that he should not be distracted by different things that come around that can pull him away and distract him from him naturally developing into who he will is meant to be. Rav Meir Shapiro, the Nitziv, there are a lot of stories. Rav Meir Shapiro and the Nitziv, and Rav Wolba, the Shevet Halevi, the all of three have in common their mothers were the ones who were the ones in whose chus they attribute their success. Or whatever the event is, this is just a side point, is to take note that it's incredible. Here we learn about major Yisoy, the incredible Yisoy, this of a name change. A name change. Today, a name change is a serious business. The people that go to have name changes when Rachman al-Islam, they're very sick. People used to be the people who go to Chaim Kanievsky and they ask them a bracha for a shidduch, and he would tell them, what's your name? What kind of name is that? It's not a Yiddish name. So they would change their name. People will do that. Then there are people that just feel that they don't have good enough mazel. They just don't make enough money. So people do this. They change their name. People do all these different types of things. They want whatever they want. Where do you find there to be a name change? When a person is in danger from being influenced to not be a Yirei Shemayim. Where do you find going to Kivrei Avos? What's the purpose of going to a cemetery to be mispalo? Not to be distracted, not to be influenced by something which will take you away from Avodas Hashem. That's it. We're not talking about winning the lottery. We're not talking about doing a shidduch. The ikar is not to be influenced, to be distracted from what you know to be the proper thing to do with your life. In Zvuzchusam. Right. So that's another topic. What do you do by a cemetery?
But to get Izuk, because the whole issue is Eretz Yisrael. Now he wanted to make sure, I am going to go there, I'm going to see what I have to see, not what I'm not supposed to see.
Correct.
And he got Izuk.
You have to be very careful. When you go to a grave, you're not praying to the dead. You're praying to Hashem in the Zuchus. There are different approaches. Some say when you go to the cemetery, you're praying to Hashem, but you're in essence also asking them that they should pray for you. No one came back to tell us how that works. No one tells us who davens for the Amud in Shemayim. They don't... Sorry?
pronunciation?
Oh, so that's a very complicated concept. Rav Steinman, he's a Das Yochin on this. Rav Steinman was very upset when at a funeral they would say, "May the Nifta be a Melitz Yosher." He would say, "They got their own problems. Now they're subject to din. Right now they're going through a year. We don't know what this means. What does the time mean in Shemayim? We don't know what this means. They right now are under scrutiny, under the microscope. They don't have the ability now. This is what he would." To go be for you, ask favors. Everyone is always coming. What could you do for me? What have you done for me lately? They got their own problems. Adarabba, why don't you do something for them? We live in a world where we're always taking. Why don't we go to a funeral and give? This neshama is now vulnerable. He's left this world. He doesn't have an opportunity to do mitzvahs. He's now subject to din. So instead of saying to him, "Oh, you be for us the Melitz Yosher. Pumfakert, you go to a funeral and say, don't worry, we got you back. We're going to learn Mishnayos for you. We're going to daven for you. We'll give tzedakah for you." Instead, we go to a funeral and the whole attitude is, "Oh, another golden opportunity. It'll be a zuchus for us to stand there by his coffin and pray that you should go do us favors." Rav Steinman, he couldn't take this. You're using the mace for you. The mace can help you now, maybe at a later point in time. Now you have to be here for the mace and help the mace. Do something for the zuchus of the nifter. What? Why back and forth? Why do we have to be, why is everything to take? You give so I can take. The only reason why you give is so you can take. Give! Be in the mode of giving. I once told you this story. I got into a lot of trouble with this story. There was a fellow, you know, you see, everyone is in this thing, you say, you give a certain bracha. And then after you give bracha, so you say amen, and then you're supposed to say v'chein lamar, and I reciprocate all of the hamavarech misbarech. There was a fellow that I knew. He used to give these very lavish blessings, and I always, but what do you see? What is this? What is the mishagas? And then I realized the reason why he's giving the blessing is because he's really blessing himself. He gives you the bracha, and then he goes and he wants you to say v'chein lamar. So I picked up on this. So he gave me, I was a real wise guy, I'm still a wise guy, and he gave me, I baited him for a bracha, and he gave me this very lavish bracha. And I lahachis did not say v'chein lamar. Lahachis didn't say v'chein lamar. And I saw he was very disturbed. And like he was trying to get out of me, so I said to him, "Oh, I see, the only reason why you give me a bracha is because you want to, I should say, v'chein lamar, you want to bless yourself." I said, "It's not mistaver that such brachas have any value." Isn't that nasty to say? That such brachas, you give me a bracha, and the whole bracha is you want to bless yourself? That's how you give a bracha? You give it, be gracious. If the person happens to say v'chein lamar, good for you, that's not your kavana. Your kavana is to bless yourself. That's, so I picked a fight with him. So he got all upset. So I went home, and I told this to my mother, Allah HaShalom. My mother said to me, "You tippish. The guy gives you a bracha. Say amen. What do you have to go fight with him for? Who do you think you are over here? You got? You go, you're giving him the guy gives you a bracha, so just nod your head and go fight. Even this you have to fight about." Mayor, you like this story? Even this you have to fight about?
Before Rosh Hashanah, right?
Yeah.
So he goes up to Reb Chaim and he says, "I wish the Rosh Hashanah should have a shidduch, and
he
should learn well, and he should have
a panasa."
The whole line.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he got the
Mechay Lamar. He played.
He knew that he wouldn't get a whole big bracha.
He got a whole stick. Another guy went to Reb Chaim, and Chaim said to him, "Boo." So he answered back, "Ooh, ooh." So I said, "Boo," is what's boo means? Bracha v'hatzlacha. He said, "Amen, the amen." So I lost. You want to give me a bracha in Rashi Tevis? Buhu, bracha v'hatzlacha. So, what is it? Ua, 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 aleph vav vav. Amen, the amen. All right. In any event, we have over here two of the Meraglim. They survived. They had an advantage. One got a bracha, got a name change from Moshe. And the other was mispalel by Kiryavis. What is the obvious question? The question is, why didn't Moshe also bless Kolev? And why didn't Yehoshua go to the cemetery? What's the, obviously this opens up an understanding is that there are different types of people. Yehoshua and Kalev, they're quarried from a different place in Shemaim. Not everyone, you know, there are certain people that love to go to cemeteries. Mayor, you don't need those people?
Yes.
They love to go to cemeteries. And then there are people that it's not their thing. They just don't go. Okay, the briskers, the real briskers, they don't go. They just don't go. They never go. It's not their thing. The Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik was the exception. He used to go to the cemetery all the time to his wife. He says, I know it's not my family minhag, but I can't help myself. Some people, over here, obviously, Yehoshua, it wasn't his thing. It wasn't his thing to go to the cemetery. Kalev, some also go for brachas. You see people, they go, they run to all the Rosh Hashivas, get brachas. And some people, they're not interested. They don't run to get brachas. We have over here two very different types of people.
One parish that says that Yehoshua didn't go for a different reason. He was a Navi, and last week's parasha ended, what did Chazal say? Moshe Meis Yehoshua Machnes, they said it, so he knew it.
He didn't need it. All right, so this question opens up, there's a lot of commentary on this as to what exactly is the different nature of the two. So one very simple thing to appreciate is, we saw this in the morning, in Klal Yisrael there are two different tracks. There is the Ovos. Every day we have a spalul, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Mitzad Sheni, after Matan Torah, it's a new ball game. It's a whole new world. Anytime we have a question about the Ovos, how were they allowed to do this and this and this, don't ask a question from what happened before Matan Torah. There is a dimension in Yados, the Ovos, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. And then there is a dimension in Klal Yisrael, starting with Matan Torah, it's a new ball game. The Ovos were Einoi Mitzuve Ve'Oise. They were not commanded. They were makir the Ribbono Shel Olam. They are greater than anyone can possibly imagine. And we are miyuchasim. We come from them. And Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. But the mitzvahs start from Matan Torah. It's a different dimension. Kalev connected with the element of the others. Yehoshua was in fact the first to connect with the new generation of Matan Torah, of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yehoshua worshipped, he served Moshe Rabbeinu to an extreme. Okay, he was this is ultimate chassid. Yehoshua with Nar Lo Yomish Mitoy Cha'oyel. When Moshe went to Shemaim for 40 days and 40 nights, who stood at the mountain? Yehoshua. Yehoshua stood there on the mountain. What did he eat? We always talk about the Moshe Rabbeinu, he did lechem lo yachalti, mayim lo yishrasisi, for 40 days and 40 nights. And what about Yehoshua? I don't know. Did Yehoshua, it says that Yehoshua did not leave the mountain.
Was he married?
What?
Was he married?
He was married. He only had daughters, it says. He didn't have sons. They brought him to the mountain?
Yeah.
It doesn't say, maybe they did. He says that what he ate?
No, it says, you know, he asked that question.
He asked the question. Baruch Shekivanti. Okay. Yehoshua and Kalev, they represent together, they represent the Shlemus of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, we connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. And yet, everything that we live, our entire life is centered on the Torah. Asher bochar bonu mikol ha'amim v'nosan lanu es Torah soy. You know, there's one area where they come together. The Mishkan, in last week's parasha, 2 weeks ago, it says that the Mishkan is called Moshe Rabbeinu's Mishkan. There's a Rashi in the parasha, I don't remember which Rashi, because Moshe Rabbeinu was Moser Nefesh over the Mishkan. The Mishkan was Moshe's Mishkan. Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe. In Parashas Vayakal Pekudi, it says 18 times. Everything was done when they built the Mishkan, Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe. What is the main part of the Mishkan? The Kerushim. Where did the Kerushim come from? Rashi asked the question, where did they have Atzei Shittim to build a Mishkan in the desert? Yaakov Avinu Nota Arozim in Eretz Kanan, and he told them to take down the Kerushim with you to Mitzrayim. I know the day will come when you will need these Kerushim. So here we have a structure. The structure is physically built with the Atzei Shittim of the Avos, of Yaakov Avinu. And what is this Mishkan called? Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. This is the Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's the synthesis. When you dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Mokum where HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings down His Shekhinah is built on a physical foundation of Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov with the divine presence of Moshe who went to Shemayim and he brought down the Torah. He brought down the Torah to bring the Shekhinah down to this world. We are a product of both of these elements together. Here they're coming into Eretz Yisrael, and there are two people that are leading the pack. And who are they? Kolev and Yehoshua. Yehoshua got a bracha from Moshe, got a name change. The name says it all. Yehoshua is Moshe's creation. It's Moshe's influence. He didn't just get a bracha. He got the ultimate bracha. The ultimate bracha is when the Rebbe changes your name. What more do you want than that? Yehoshua B'davka did not go to the Moris Machpelah. That's not his avoida. His avoida is Matan Torah. Matan Torah. Kolev B'davka did not get a bracha from Moshe. He's not on that team. Your Kolev's avoida is the Ovis. Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. He went to Moris Machpelah to appreciate to see, as Rav Kalman said, to see the good of Eretz Yisrael through the vision of the Ovis. Yehoshua, he wanted to see the vision only through Moshe Rabbeinu. Ko Yoshiach HaMe'atzas Miragla. Together, that is the Shlemus. Together, the composite of Kolev and Yehoshua, together is where we come from. We are, the Shlemus is to synthesize the Ovis with Matan Torah. But as it begins, we have these two individuals which each one has their niche, has their focus, and they come together. You know, they talk about the tzitzis. The tzitzis, Rabbi Maresky was mentioning, you know, the nusach, the words of the parsha of tzitzis are very similar to the words of the Meraglim. Uri isem oisoi, uri isem es haaretz, vayosu, vayalu, vayosuru es haaretz. The loy sosuru achrei levalchem v'achrei nechem. What is in the tzitzis? Lavan and techeles. So I want to suggest is that the techeles represents Yehoshua. Why? Because techeles doimel yam, yam doimel rakia, and the rakia is doimel kis Yaakov. The techeles takes you to Hashem. Ka Yoshiacha. Where did the Torah come from? Shemayim. What is the lavan? Lavan is ordinary, plain, bland. It's just mundane. There's no, when you contrast the tchelas, the kis yakovit, lavan, nothing. That's the aretz. Kolev, hagidoilim. What is the avos? Avraham, Yitzchak, the Yaakov. Hagidoilim asher ba'aretz. This represents Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov were able to. What? Now that's a general, that's a term for everything together. Gedil, when you tie it together. The love on Avraham and Yitzhak and Yaakov, Avraham was able to look at Teva, look into the world. Who's the Baal Habira? Who's the Baal Abbas? The Ribbono Shel Olam. They were able to serve Hashem by being Makir Hashem in Teva. Moshe, he went to Shemayim. 40 days, 40 nights, he brought down something that is Kula Ruchni. The Techeles is Yehoshua. Ko Yoshiacha Me'atzas Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu puts his hands on him. Whereas Kolev is going to Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. He's not going to Moshe Rabbeinu. He's following a mahalich of Teva, of Haneg Bohem Minig Derecheris, to see Hashem in the Teva. And that we go to Avraham, Yitzhak, and to be Makir, the Baal Habira. There is a master, there is a creator. Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. So this is just to start off, we have over here, in order to appreciate who is this person Yehoshua ben Nun, mi hu zeh, it's very hard to identify something in a vacuum.
It's, you can see the best. His descendant, Caleb is descendant of Yehuda. He is descendant of Yosef. Ephraim, actually, yeah? Ephraim got the bracha from Yaakov. Yehuda was the one who was alone. He was the leader. He came to...
So it's the opposite. Okay, so you see...
Very good.
So there it's the opposite. There Yosef, because I'm trying to say is that Yeshua... It's the other dimension. Okay, there's a different dimension. But to identify a person, to understand a member of the Ishiya Tanakh, it's very hard if you just look at them in isolation. When you compare, when you take them and they're part of a group and there's a contrast, that opens up a different world. So here we have an advantage. Well, you have Yehoshua. Yehoshua had a partner. Who was the partner? Kolev. They're on the same team. They're Meraglim. 10 of them were Rishoyim. The two tzaddikim was Yehoshua and Kolev. But yet, they're very different. Yehoshua protected himself through Moshe Rabbeinu. He stood in his shadow. Kolev, we don't find Kolev dealing with Moshe Rabbeinu. Kolev is running to the Kvarim, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. So this opens up an appreciation. Kolev, his avodah was to preserve the legacy. He was the first generation to carry forth Matan Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu introduced in the Klal Yisrael a whole new dimension. Moshe went to Shemayim, he brought down the Torah. It's a new breakpoint. It's a new dimension of life. The mitzvahs that we observe today are only through Matan Torah. Even what we did before Matan Torah, there was an upgrade in how it's done from the time of Matan Torah. Yehoshua is the one who was entrusted to carry on that legacy of Moshe. Moshe kibul Torah miSinai uMosra liYehoshua. That is Yehoshua. In not Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, that's not his focus. That's Kolev. Kolev is to preserve the legacy of Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. And we, to the best that we can, we synthesize, we integrate both of these great people together. We daven, our davening in the Beis HaKnesses, it's Moshe Rabbeinu. And what are we saying in the Nesach HaTzilah? Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzhak, Elokei Yaakov. Moshe himself did that. Moshe Zuchor li Avraham li Yitzhak li Yaakov. Okay, let's go to some other ideas about Yehoshua. Let's talk about what's his name. Yehoshua, let's jump around a little bit, different things, different ideas. Yes, here in the Oitzer Pila Ois, Rabbi Zicherman, he has some amazing, wondrous a collection of ideas about Yehoshua, and most of it is found in Parshas, last week's Parsha, in Parshas Behaloischa. Why in Parshas Behaloischa? Because Yehoshua prominently appears in Parshas Behaloischa. Let me turn to the page. Sorry? Vayomush mitoicha oil. Okay, let me just turn to the page. Eldad, right, exactly. Eldad Umeidad. Okay, Eldad Umeidad in last week's parasha, Eldad Umeidad started to become prophets. And Yehoshua was very disturbed. And he gave advice to Moshe, Kiloim, which means either destroy them or put them in prison. Rashi says, Hatil Aleim Tzorchei Tzibor. Now, it's very interesting over here. The Midrashim tell us a very frightening kind of thing. Yehoshua only lived to the age of 110. His Rebbe lived to the age of 120. Yosef, for whom he came from, what was Yosef also? 110. Yehoshua was a descendant of Yosef, obviously, Yosef. And they both shared the same age, 110 years. Short 10 years of his Rebbe, Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe was 120. Why did he live 10 years less? So this is a medrash. You can take it what how you want to take it. It's because Yehoshua did an avera. He was moira halacha bifnei rabbi. Or, you know, you can say it many different ways. And Chazal are very critical of Yehoshua when Eldad and Medad were misnabim b'seich ha-machaneh, Yehoshua,
misnabim
b'machaneh, Yehoshua offered advice. Adoini Moshe ki lo'im. Okay? They are your political opponents. Let's weaponize the justice system. Put them in prison.
Yeah. What Yeshua was saying was the other Shiva Mishas came in were in Moshe's sphere.
Right.
So he
Vayotzel min haruach.
They were getting the Ruah because it was coming from
independently.
Moshe, but Eldad Umedad
was independent.
Far away from Moshe, so
a different channel.
Really, Nevi'im on their own.
He suspected they were Nevi'ei Sheker because the other Shivim Zakenim were receiving their prophecy from an overflow as an offshoot from Moshe. Eldad Umedad were getting a direct line. It's like everyone else was on Wi-Fi from our central unit. They had their own subscription for their own communication, Eldad Umedad, and that was, see, and that's the Yehoshua, see, this is a mile of Yehoshua. Even if their line of communication is correct, but that's not Klal Yisrael. In Klal Yisrael, everything has to go through a Misoira. And maybe they come to the same conclusion. Give a mashal. You have over here, you have everyone, you have in your home, you have internet connection, and then you have Wi-Fi. So you have 50 people living in your house. They're all living off the Wi-Fi. And then a guest comes into your home. They have their own phone with their own personal subscription. They have their own line. In Klal Yisrael, everything has to go through the Mesorah. The Mesorah is the central system. Moshe Rabbeinu is the Makor of Nevuah. It's one of the Animanans. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Av HaNevi'im. Anyone that gives over prophecy throughout the generations, his prophecy has to be Nimshach through the channel of Moshe Rabbeinu. Eldad Umedad were independent. And even though their Nevuah was authentic and was... You have to turn it off. You can't leave it outside. You can't.
The internet is going, Wi-Fi is going to get.
You can't every 2 seconds. I can't do this.
I didn't know that.
You have to take it outside. Eldad Umedad had an independent, even though their Nevuah was authentic, it was an independent, and this bothered Yehoshua very much. How could they have their own independent line of prophecy when it's not coming through you, Moshe Rabbeinu? This goes against the grain of Klal Yisrael of the Mesorah. So he told Moshe advice. Adoni Moshe ki lo'im. Put them in prison, or destroy them, or give them a job that will overwhelm them, tzarchei tzibur, and they will just disappear. Chazal are very critical of Yehoshua. It's not your business to tell Moshe what to do. You want to bring a report? You want to bring a report? What's going on? Fine. But who's asking you for advice? L'chayr, he got it from Yosef. When Yosef was asked to interpret Pyro's dream, so he didn't just interpret Pyro's dream. He says, V'ata yere Pyro, ish novon v'chacham. Let me tell you what to do. Let me tell you, Yosef didn't just interpret the dream, he told Pyro what to do. So Yehoshua told Moshe, we got a problem here, and let me tell you what to do. That you don't, Pyro, you can tell what to do. But Moshe, you don't tell what to do. He was Moire, this is considered Moire Halacha Bifnei Rabbi. The Medrash says there were 10 words that he said to Moshe. There's a whole long footnote exactly, what exactly are the 10 words? But he make a calculation, what were the 10 words? And because of the 10 words, he died 10 years too early. Just like Yosef, he heard his brothers 10 times say, Adoini Avi. I'm sorry. Avi Avdecha. Avi, our father. Avinu Avdecha. Our father who is your servant. And Yosef was silent after they called their father Yosef's servant. And that was not acceptable. And because this happened 10 times, Yosef lost 10 years of his life on his exalted Madrega. And because Moshe, because Yoshua offered, he was Moira, the Chaloch is a Moira Locha Bifnei Rabbi, Chayiv Misa. And therefore, because he was Moira Locha Bifnei Rabbi by telling, giving him advice, it was Beged the Moira Locha, Chayiv Misa, he lost 10 years of his life. Yeah. Rashi says that. Rashi, they were roy to die. They were roy to die from Tammat and Torah. Vayochel Yishus. Rashi and Chumash. Rashi and Chumash says they weren't there. The Zakeim died. Rashi asked the question. Rashi Mamash. Rashi at the end of Parashas Bahalo Yischa brings down everything that you just said. Rashi on the positive. Where were the old Zakeinim? They died. They died by Tavera. Why? Because Vayochel Vayishu by Matan Torah. So they had to recruit new Zakeinim. Okay, but Yeshua was not pleased. Okay, now, let's discuss some other things. Why was he called Yeshua bin Nun? What does the word Nun mean? So there are many papers, and some say it's the letter of the Aleph base. And in fact, there's a big topic. Do we find in Chazal such a thing of naming a person after a letter in the Aleph base? Think about it, though, they have court cases in this country, people who want to be a number. I remember the different stories of people, they want to have a name, you know, the whole private person doesn't like his name in America. You can go to some state, federal office, I don't know where you go exactly, and you file some papers.
Zero, you become zero.
And you go and you can change your name. And so there have been cases in this country, probably a lot of them, where people go into the post office, whatever it is, and they want to change their name to a number. I don't want to have a name. I want to be called 054183274007. I want now to change my name to 007. So I don't know. You can Google this. Is it legal? Not legal? Whatever it is. So look at this. There are people who have Yoshua. He was the son of number 50. His father didn't have a name. His father was Nun. Nun is a letter in the Aleph base. His father was 50. Nun, no, one Nun. Yoshua, the son of 50. 50. Who's on the $50 bill? Grant. His father was Grant. Yoshua ben Nun. Okay? So do we find, well, in Pirkei Avos we find Ben Hey Hey, right? Ben Hey Hey. We find in the Yerushalmi a name of Ben Yud. A person, his name was the son of Yud. Okay, there are a few people in Tanakh who indeed are named after numbers. And who's not to say that when it says Yoshua ben Nun, Nun was the name, well, he had a number. What was the pshat having a number? Nun, we know that Nun represents, you know, there are 50 chokhma, there are the vayi bin soya ha'aron, there are the two inverted Nuns, yovel. The Nun is a very exotic, spectacular number. It's used in many different things. Yovel, matan Torah, but we do find a handful. Oh, excellent, basheva. Excellent. Basheva. Where does that come from? Bas Sheva. A number. So it's not so unusual to find examples. I have it over here somewhere. I can't find it. I'm a little bit lost over here in the pages over here. But it's not so unusual to have examples where people are called after numbers. Let me see if I can find another example. Another example over here. Here is Kilo Aim. Okay, let's go further. Now, however, there's another Mahalach. Others say the reason why he's called Nun is because I want to just find a place. He's called Nun. Why? Because Nun means a fish. Is a fish. And the reason why he was called Nun was, it wasn't really his father's name. It was his own name. Yehoshua bin Nun. Yehoshua bin Nun means a ben of wisdom. Nun is similar to the word Navoin. Navoin means knowledge. He was a brilliant person. Yehoshua, he was a bin, like a ben of Nun. So even though Nun really means, it means a fish lives in water. Hoy koltsame l'chula mayim. Yehoshua continuously occupied himself with matters of Torah. And being that the word, just like a fish is in water, and water is a metaphor for Torah, hoy koltsame l'chula mayim. And Nun also has, is phonetically related to the word of Navoin, understanding, wisdom of knowledge. He was a man of great intellect. Yehoshua, it's not necessarily his father's name. Yehoshua bin, because it should say the word ben, and there's a whole topic of the discussion with the Nekudah, it's a Jewish, ben, but not for now. But bin means he was an individual who was engaged in Nun, which is a shorter form, not necessarily for a fish, but of wisdom, of knowledge. An intelligent, brilliant, intelligent man who was a chacham, a very great, wise man. Okay, that's what I'm sure, yeah. Okay.
Yaakov gave the bracha.
V'yidgu l'roiv bekerev aretz. Excellent, fascinating. I never thought of that. Heard that? V'yidgu l'roiv bekerev aretz, that you should multiply, be numerous, multiply. So he was a kiyum. He was a kiyum of the bracha of Yosef. Yosef gave a bracha, v'yidgu l'roiv, you should increase abundantly bekerev aretz. And in fact, he was bekerev aretz. Yehoshua was the one who actually went into the land. He entered into Eretz Yisrael. He did have daughters,
no sons,
but he had daughters. So he did. But he would be the one that would be instrumental in Klal Yisrael. He would be the leader in Klal Yisrael, building and occupying and developing the land. The yidgu l'roiv bekerev aretz, and that refers to the yidgu is miloshen dog, the yidgu. And this was niskayim through Yosef's enokel or enokel, Yehoshua. He was the one that would enable Klal Yisrael to be the yidgu l'roiv bekerev haaretz. He would be the leader in taking Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael.
Not only multiply, but survive.
To survive in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so that is a very beautiful idea. Machol Yashar Karach is a very beautiful idea. That's why he's called Nun as a fish. He is bin Nun as a zecher to the kiyum. It is through him Klal Yisrael is going to merit the fulfillment of the bracha of Yaakov, the yidgu lashon of dog, loroiv in abundance, bekerev aretz. He will bring the Jewish people into Eretz Yisrael to be for this bracha to be niskayim. Now, there's a very, very way out medrash that tells us another reason why he's called Yehoshua bin Nun. His father's name was Nun, which means fish. And this is the story. It's a really way out story. And I'm not so sure everyone's going to accept the story of what happened, of where the story comes from. Now, the source comes, Bir Noisef Upele Me'oid. He writes here, Pele Me'oid. Hevi Hagoyin Ravi Avraham Zal Ben Agro. Mivilna. Let me just make sure it's the Gros son, Pella. Yeah, he's the one who brings down the story. Okay, So we have a very good source. Okay, this is the Vilna Goyin's son, Hagoyin Rabbi Avraham Zal Ben Hagra Mivilna Zichron Levracha, B'Sifra Rav Paulim, and this was Sefer Oitzer Yad Hachayim. And this is the story. Very bizarre story. The story goes like this. There was a person who had no children. A man and a woman, they didn't have children, and the wife desperately wanted to have a child. And she was married to a very, very great tzaddik. This was in the time of the Shibud of Mitzrayim. They were living in Egypt, in Mitzrayim, and it was during the time when the Shibud was getting worse and worse. And they had no children. And the wife begged her husband, please be mispalo, we should have a child. And he davened and davened and davened and did all these things, and finally, vayhi hayoyim, she was pregnant. And as her pregnancy continued, as the child developed, she noticed that her husband was getting more and more depressed. Clinically depressed. Getting worse and worse and worse. The baby was born, and the husband, he just went off the deep end. And she begged him, what in the world is going on? We didn't have a child, a miracle happened, why are you upset? We should be happy. I know, there's more to the story, obviously, but he basically says that to go to have this child, I had a vision, again, this is in time of Mitzrayim, and I saw in a dream, or whatever it is, that this child that we're having, it's going to come with a price. There's no free lunch. You get a bracha, you got to pay for it. And this child that's coming into the world, the day will come when he will kill me. He will murder me. The child, that's the price. The baby's going to come into this world, he's going to grow up, and he will take my life. In the beginning, I said, it's kedai, it's a good deal. You should have a child. Why not? I'll die. There's more to the story. I don't understand what's going on over here, but it bothers me a lot. So the wife was at Tzadikus, and she said, you know something, if that's the case, I don't want the child. You are worth to me more than 100 children. I don't want such a child. Let's give it back. How do you give it back? It's Mitzrayim. They took the baby. This is before the Gzera, Kol HaBein HaYiloid. They took the baby. They put the baby in a box, in a teva, and they put the baby on the Ya'ar. There's certainly a rem is a mashal in this story, which you have to figure out what is the mashal. It doesn't say what the mashal is. Took the baby, they put the baby in the box. The story of Yonah. Along came a big, massive whale, swallowed the baby in the box. The baby was in the box, so the baby was eaten up. And the whales went on. The whale was captured. They killed the whale. They cut open the whale, someone, and they see in the baby, in the box, this beautiful baby. The Egyptians, or Chveis, I don't know, probably the Egyptians are there. And they take the baby out of the box, and they bring the baby to the king, Chveis, I don't know who. Such a beautiful baby. Can't just abandon the baby. And the baby was raised in a home of royalty. Vayihi hayoim, vayakam melech chodosh, asher lo yoda es Yosef, there was a shibud, and they were goyzer on Klal Yisrael, not to learn Torah, not to do mitzvahs, not to do anything. And of course, there was a Jew, this couple, this elderly man by now, he was found in violation of teaching Torah, of doing something which the government did not like. So who was in charge? His son. His son was raised as a Gentile by the Egyptians. A prince, whatever it was. I don't know if his mom should bas, the son of the, doesn't sound like the son of Paro, but it was in a very high position of authority, and he was in charge, and he was the judge and the jury and the executioner. And they brought this person who was at that time a Zakein, and what are you doing? You're learning Torah. Paro said you have to go collect straw, this, and you're doing this. Chayev Misa. And he himself took out his sword and killed his own father. You think you could run away from Hashem? You can't run away from Hashem. Hashem, so here it's a sad story because they could have at least enjoyed the child all these years. And here they send away the child. They sent away, they thought that would be in the sky that they don't have the child. But really the gzer was not bottled. And the child grew up as a guy. And they went and he killed the father. Then at some point, I don't know, the story gets more and more bizarre. I don't know all the details, it's too confusing for me. This child went and he met the almana, the widow. And one thing led to another, whatever the story was, and basically they discovered that this is the child. Father, whatever the details are, they discovered that this is his mother and the person that he killed was his father. And it was a whole discovery, and as happily ever after, he was chozer b'shuva. He realized where he comes from, and he became a very big tzaddik, and he renamed himself, new name, Nun, a fish. Because how did he survive this whole story? Because his mother when the father told that the son's going to kill him, and the wife said, "You're worth to me more than 100 children," they took the baby, they put the baby in a box, and they put the box into the Nile, and a fish came and ate the box. So the only reason why he survived was because of the fish, the Nun. So when he realized what happened years later, who his mother was, his father, he killed his father, and he's a Jew, and he was Chayze Beshuva, and he embraced Yiddishkeit, he renamed himself Nun to give Shevach Vaidah to the fish, to Hashem, that Hashem allowed the fish to swallow him, and that's why he is still alive. That was the father of Yehoshua. What? This is what the son of the Vilna Gaon. I know this is a story that you would, like the Medrash says, such a story. Who would believe such a story? But this is what it says. The Vilna Gaon, he would make up stories. And this is what it says. I'll read you the last lines. The Asa Teshuva Gedoila. V'nasa Isha, he married Isha Mibnei Yisrael. V'noilad Loi Ben. V'kara Oiso Yehoshua. V'oilam Karu Oiso, the world called him Bin Nun. This is the son of the fish. He was saved by the fish. V'atam Kila Aviv Karu Oilam Al Shem Hadar, because the Velt called him because of the Maisa Dish. Now, obviously, this Medrash is telling us of a very important lesson. Now, what I was trying to think about is not just Tamu. It's telling us where Yehoshua comes from. Yehoshua comes from a story where you can't escape from Hashem. It's almost like Yonah, Nineveh. You think you're going to run away. It really has all the trappings of Yonah, what we learn in Yom HaKippurim. Yonah, Hashem says, go to Nineveh and tell them they're going to die if they don't do Teshuvah. Yonah says, Ribbono Shel Olam, you got the wrong guy. You got the wrong guy. I bought a ticket to go to Alaska. I'm out of here. Get me on the next plane to nowhere. I'm the first one to volunteer to go one-way ticket to Mars. Gets on the plane, he gets there, and guess where he ends up? You can't escape. You're not going to escape. The ship is about to sink. The fish swallows him up. They throw him into the yam. The yam swallows. You think you're going to escape? You cannot escape from your destiny. You cannot escape from your destiny. And Yehoshua comes from such a story. You cannot escape from your destiny. What is his destiny? I don't know. It's hard to define. It's hard. What is the mashal? What's the nimshal? Obviously, there's more to be said about this. All right, a few more short things about Yehoshua. Yehoshua, Chazal, Yehoshua, we have Mishneh Torah. Mishneh Torah is the Sefer of Yehoshua. There's a very famous Chazal. If the Torah was only, if Klal Yisrael did not sin, then we would only have the Torah and Sefer Yehoshua. I'm sure you're familiar with this Chazal. We have today Chof Dalit Sifrei Tanakh. What are most of the Sifrei Tanakh? Musa, the Sifrei Nevi'im. The Sifrei Nevi'im is the ultimate Nusa. Yeah, the story Yehoshua, Shoftim, Shmuel, Melachim. Okay, the stories of all the Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Damim. It's not so pleasant. The Sifrei Nevi'im Rishonim, you know, scary stuff. There's a lot of blood. There's a lot of murder. There's a lot of Avodah Zarah. A lot of fighting going on. A lot of revenge. A lot of scary stuff there in the Sifrei Nevi'im Rishonim. What about Nevi'im Achronim? Musar, Musar, Musar. Yeshaya, Yecheskel, Treyasar. Musar. A lot of Musar. Ksuvim, okay? Chazal say that if Klal Yisrael would behave themselves, all of the tragic events of the Malachim, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Avodah Zarah, and Ritzicha would not have happened, and there would be no need for the Musar. All we would have is the Torah and Sefer Yehoshua. Pashup Shat, that means the Chamishe Chumshe Torah and the book of Yehoshua, the first one of the prophets. Not necessarily what it means. Mishneh Torah is called in some place in Chazal Sefer Yehoshua. It's a very strange thing. We think of Mishneh Torah, you know, the Melech, he has to write a Sefer Torah. What's a Sefer Torah? Mishneh Torah. Mishneh Torah was Sefer Yehoshua. Yehoshua was obsessed, that's what it says in Chazal, with Sefer Yehoshua. Let me read you the exact words. It's a very interesting Chazal of Ikur Limudo Shel Yehoshua Binun. I'll read you the whole words over here from Rabbi Zichman. Dover Niflo. Every single paragraph in this thick Sefer begins with those words. Dover Niflo. That's why he calls it Oitzer Pilois. It's really actually an incredible, incredible Sefer. Five thick volumes. It's mind-boggling how someone did this, how he collected these really obscure things. And it's written very, very well. Dover Nifla, Isa B'medrish Bereshis Rabba. The Amar is a Bereshis Rabba. This very everything over here is very well sourced. There's not Baba Maisis here. Everything he has here is really, really Oiskahalten. The Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Baichoi, Rashvi, the Rabbi Shimon Baichoi, Sefer Mishneh Torah, Hoya Signoin Li Yeshua. Now, what does that word mean? We'll say in one moment. Bisha Shenigle Allah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzoy Yoshev is Sefer Mishneh Torah Biyadu. Amalai Chazak Yeshua, Amatz Yeshua, Lo Yomush. When it says in the beginning of Sefer Yeshua that we lain this on Simchas Torah, we lain this week, by the way, it is only the three times a year when you lain from Sefer Yeshua. Simchas Torah, Parshas Shalach, yes, the Meraglim, right, and Pesach. Right. Pesach, the first day of Pesach. The first day of Pesach, you lain from Sefer Yeshua when they collect money. What? When they collect money to buy Nevi'im, a set of Nevi'im on Klaf and Ashul, which is the last one they buy? Yeshua. What's the first one they buy? Shaya. What's the second one they buy? Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah is more. The third, I think, is, I'm not even sure, is it Shmuel? I'm not even sure. Melachim, which one? I'm not sure. It costs a lot of money. It costs to buy a whole set of Nevi'im is double the price of a Sefer Torah. How do you know? That's very easy. How many columns are there in a Sefer Torah? Either 245 or 248. Most of it are 245. There are some that are 248. How many columns are there in a full set of Sefer Nevi'im? Approximately 500. So that means Ksuvim is just basically the parchment and the letters is basically double. Sifrei Nevi'im. The 8 Sifrei Nevi'im in total is about double a Sefer Torah. So if a Sefer Torah costs $100,000, to buy a whole set of Nevi'im will cost $200,000. It's doubled. Basically, it's double the price. Any event, so Yeshua, you only lay him 3 times a year. Okay, and what are we laying? We lo yomush, o yomush sefer ha-Torah hazeh. So what does that mean? You would think that you're laying, when you're laying on Simchas Torah, you messiah the Torah, and you lay in this pasuk, lo yomush sefer ha-Torah hazeh mipicha. That's the first Hashem appears to Yeshua and gives Yeshua a pep talk, going after Moshe dies. Now you finish off the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu v'lo yada ish es kivuroso v'yikbar oisai bagai, and then you lay in the half Torah. Mamshich Yeshua, he takes over. V'hi acharei Moshe. After Moshe dies, Yeshua, Hashem appears to him. Lo yomush seifa Torah hazem ipicha. So everyone in the audience, you will go around the shul. What does this pasuk mean? Avada. It means v'zoyis haTorah asher sa Moshe. It means chamish echum shei Torah. Not according to the Medrash Rabbah. According to the Medrash Rabbah, Lo Yomush Sefer HaTorah Hazeh Mipicha. It's going on what Yehoshua was holding in his hand when Hashem revealed himself to Yehoshua after Moshe Rabbeinu's Petira. And what was he holding in his hand? He was holding in his hand Mishneh Torah. Why? That was his book. It was Ki'ilu that Moshe wrote Mishneh Torah just for Yehoshua. And Hashem, oh, good. You're holding in your hand safe Mishneh Torah, Chumash Devarim, not Bereish Shmos Vayikra Bamidbar. Chumash Devarim, excellent. Lo Yomush Sefer HaTorah Hazeh. Hazeh Mishneh Torah. And that is called Sefer in one dimension. That is called Sefer Yehoshua. The real Sefer Yehoshua is not the Yehoshua of Sifrei Nevi'im. It's another name for Mishneh Torah, Pella. And that opens up a whole new commentary. And when Chazal say that if Klal Yisrael would not have been sinned with the Egel and the Meraglim, there would not be Sifrei Nevi'im and Sifrei Kisuvim. There would just be Torah and Sefer Yehoshua. What does that mean? So everyone learns. It means Torah and the first book of the prophets. Because, you know, we don't need necessarily Shmuel and Melachim. That we can get away with. And Shoftim, we don't need those we can get away with. Because that's a lot of tragedies. Just Sefer Yehoshua. Why? Why is Sefer Yehoshua more important than Shoftim, Shmuel, Melachim, and the four Nevi'im Achronim? Wait a minute, whoever told you that when it says Sefer Yehoshua, it means Sefer Yehoshua of Nevi'im? When it says, maybe when it says Sefer Yehoshua, it means Mishneh Torah. Because Beferush, in the Medrash Rabbah, that's what Sefer, the real Sefer Yehoshua, it's Mishneh Torah, is Sefer Yehoshua, and that's what it's called in the Pasuk, Lo Yomish Sefer Torah B'yah. It's Mamash, a Dover Nifl, the Sefer tremendous Chiddush. Okay, Yehoshua, we're finishing off from now. Was Yehoshua really a Chacham? There's a conflicting midrashim. Some say Yehoshua originally was only, Yehoshua in the Torah is never called the Talmud of Moshe. He's called the Mishores of Moshe. The Mishores. Mishores Moshe. And some midrashim say, Dover Nifla. They used to call you can't even say it out of your mouth, say such things. They called him a Kasil, a fool. He wasn't originally such a smart person.
He was like a gabbai.
He was a gabbai, like a rebbe, a gabbai. And in the merit of being Meshameish Moshe, Hashem opened up his mind, and was able to be Shoyev Kol HaTorah Kula. Someone has said that when it says Kisil Chas V'Sholem, does the Medrash mean that he wasn't wise? It means like Moshe had an Isha Kushis. What does that mean? A black wife. What does that mean? It means, Rashi, she was so beautiful, the same way everyone admits, he's black. Everyone will say that he's black. Everyone, about Kol Moedim, that Moshe's wife was exquisitely beautiful. When it comes to Chochma, he's not so smart. He is smart. Everyone admitted he's genius. The same way a Kasil, everyone admits, like it's a euphemism. Everyone admitted that Yehoshua was second to none. Bin Nun, Novoin. So when it says there that he was a Kasil, it means Hakol Moedim on his brilliance. Just like Moshe's wife was a Kushis. Hakol Moedim. That Saginar. Hakol Moedim, the Chochma, the brilliance of Yehoshua Bin Nun. All right, there's more, but for another time. Mm-hmm.